It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football with the one and only John Telich, who's on the hotline. JT, how are we doing today?
We are great, Rocco. We are excited about seeing the Browns playing someone other than themselves, although, as you all know, it's an exhibition game, and you kind of have to temper your enthusiasm and or expectations when they're playing these fake games before the real ones.
Well, is it even possible to focus on these fake games when you've got the commissioner of the league, Roger Goodell, pushing for, what, at least a year suspension for quarterback Deshaun Watson, as we all saw in the news, calling Watson's behavior, quote, egregious and predatory, and again talks about him pushing for at least a four-year suspension for Watson, whose current suspension sits at six games. So what do we make of all this, JT?
Yeah, I'm looking here to realize that I think all along the commissioner and I think the owners, by not coming out publicly and saying, yeah, we'll take whatever Sue L. Robinson comes forth with, I think they've had it in their minds all along to try to boost this punishment for something that Watson was involved in. And I think the judge, Sue L. Robinson, laid the groundwork. She worked with precedent, which is pretty well documented, right, Rocco, with the six games previous. Mm-hmm. So that's what she wielded. But she came out with the words egregious and had not seen this type of behavior before. And so she proved the NFL's point that he was up to no good with all of these uncalled for solicitations, if you will, for these women and what he pulled when he was actually on the massage table itself. So I think they realized that they needed to boost this. So they're going for a year. I could see it potentially maybe being 12 games and a massive fine. I think there still is a little weird feeling amongst some of the owners towards the Browns because they gave him the, you know, 5 years, $230 million guaranteed. And obviously also because his first year of his contract, which has been the way that Andrew Berry has done business with other big stars like Garrett and Denzel Ward and what have you, is so low in money, he's not really being penalized much. So I could see maybe ultimately if he gets the 17 games and maybe the appeals or taking them, the league to court, could bring this situation down to maybe a 12-game suspension for him this year, with a massive fine loaded on upon that. And so it's, it kind of has the Browns up in the air, Rocco, about, you know, just how do they proceed. So even, let's say, if he's not suspended indefinitely by, you know, Friday, there's a potential that you could see him play in Jacksonville. And they have to also keep in mind who plays in the Jacksonville game by virtue of what next week is. We're looking ahead next week, Rocco, to those joint scrimmages or joint practices with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know a lot of the time, like last year, as was the case when the Giants came to Berea, all the guys that were really very active against the Giants in those, you know, in the scrimmages or the joint practices, their time on the field in the actual exhibition game was altered significantly as well. So a lot of factors moving in here. Still, as we sit here today recording this situation, we have not heard from the gentleman who was designated to come forth with the punishment. We have not heard anything from the league about which way they're going. But obviously, I think people in Berea remain on pins and needles. They haven't left those needles. They're still standing on them, and it cannot be a comfortable situation.
No, not at all. And I feel like that just makes it so tough to try and navigate how you go throughout the rest of the summer and through the preseason and the joint practices into the regular season. So, you know, John, like you said, as of right now, as we record this, we don't know exactly how long this suspension will be if it is longer than six games. But let's hypothetically say it does sit at six games and that's just what it stays at. How do the Browns kind of navigate those first six games without Deshaun Watson? Is that something that derails their season, or can they kind of stay afloat without him?
Well, I think they can stay afloat if we're talking about the first six games. And I think we can agree, because the league came out and said before Sue L. Robinson came down with her six games that they would not appeal that ruling on their collectively bargained arrangement. So then we can assume that if they come down with a year's penalty and the players come back and say, we're going to sue you, I don't think it takes us back to ground zero. I think what it really does is solidifies that you agreed to the penalty she put forth initially. That was the six games. So it's going to be six or more. And obviously the league wants it to be 17 games and then a hefty fine. So you asked the question about the first six games. Here's how they sit down. You have Carolina on the road, the Jets at home, Steelers, then Atlanta, then the Chargers, and the Patriots. Given the ability of the Andrew Berry and company to build the roster that they have, it's an outstanding roster that they do indeed have, I would say they're probably going to be favored in it just about every one of these games except for the Chargers, let's say. So, I mean, they potentially, with Jacoby Brissett at the helm, have an opportunity to jump out of the gates exceptionally well with perhaps getting that first opening win and seeming like forever down in Carolina, where it looks like right now Baker's winning the quarterback job in his duel with Sam Darnold. Then you have the Jets for the Browns' home opener. That's an afternoon game. Obviously, Garrett Wilson, the outstanding player from Ohio State, a factor on the other side of the sideline, so we'll see how well he plays. Steelers, I always have respected Mike Tomlin, but how is their offensive line going to be? Will Mitch Trubisky be the starting quarterback on opening day, or are we looking at someone else? Can the kid be ready to play from the jump? I doubt it. I think he's going to be a good player, but I don't think Pickett will be the guy that they'll be looking at initially as the season goes on. Then you have Atlanta with Marcus Mariota. You have to worry about those Chargers because not only they're a tremendous young quarterback, but you've got Bosa and Mack, and that will make Jacoby Brissett break out in hives the night before, if you will. And then the Patriots. So that's how the first six games of the schedule look as far as how they break down with the Browns. And it's an opportunity for them to, you know, come out and play pretty strongly and to have an advantageous record for the rest of the season. And, of course, as we stand here right now, we don't know if the rest of the season might entail the six games remaining as is. That appears unlikely. Or if it's going to be many games beyond just the first six that they won't have Mr. Watson behind center.
John Telich, our guest this morning on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by Northridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Defensively, JT, I see a lot of love for Greg Newsom in the secondary on Twitter and social media through various clips and things like that. What do we make of that so far?
Well, I just love this kid. I just think he's got a phenomenal, has had a phenomenal opportunity. He's one of the younger generation, new generation of kids that are prime talents in their home state, and then they go to one of those, let's just call them a finishing school, although that's maybe not the right term. And I'm talking about the IMG Academy down there in Bradenton, Florida. He played his final year down at IMG, came out of there worldly, played his football at Northwestern. Brilliant kid, smart kid, super impressive about how he is around his teammates. He played very solid football his rookie season for the Browns. He's getting shout-outs all over the place. Now, Ja'Marr Chase yesterday in talking to the media was very complimentary of not just Denzel Ward, who everybody all universally agrees is one of the best in the game, super outstanding player, but also shouted out Newsom, said, although maybe he talks a little bit too much, but he's a very good player. And so you're getting the respect from guys around the league. I know Newsom went back at him on social media because I think Ja'Marr Chase was saying he's not elite, but who is elite coming out their first year? Give him a chance. I think he's going to be a real good one. And then Ocho Cinco saw some video on social media and was saying, who's this dude? Who's this guy covering the receiver? I think it was Donovan Peoples-Jones, and Newsom timed it just perfectly and made an interception. and made a good play. So he's getting love as far as that's concerned. But one reason why I think this kid is got his head on his shoulders exactly right is he asked his sister, who's not that much older than him, Zakiya. He asked her, I don't know if it's Zakiya or Zakiya, but he asked her to come to Cleveland and move in with him. And so, you know, first, if you're a rookie, you know, I don't know how I would have responded if I were 21, 22 years of age with all that money, my rookie season. It would have been very hard to be on task, to be, you know, very on point with what I'm supposed to do as a professional while also wanting to be guy about town, man about town. Well, he kind of cut out some of that riffraff. He's got his sister living with him, wow. And I think that's kind of a cool move. She's here in Cleveland helping him run his, he has got a foundation and his charitable stuff, also takes care of their two dogs. So I think that's a real cool story. It just shows you the maturity level that Greg realized, it'd be great to have my sister come here and live with me. And by the way, real outstanding article about this from Nate Ulrich over at the Akron Beacon Journal, who's no longer on the Browns beat, as it were. He's doing a lot of takeout writing assignments that he comes up with, and that's a perfect kind of a piece that you may want to read to learn a little bit more about Greg Newsome. Good job by Nate Ulrich writing that story. And I also communicated with Nate about this in the last day or so. So I was impressed with that. But I really like everything that this young man is about. Now, it's kind of different there in the defensive secondary. We haven't seen Denzel. He's still on the PUP list, you know, but they don't seem to be super worried about his foot situation. It's still a month away until, you know, they play on September the 11th, I believe, is opening day down there in Carolina. But Greg Newsome is just, I think they have a real nice defensive backfield. I think, you know, last week I said they were the third best group on the team. And I think that goes to show with Greg Newsome being one of those building blocks that they have as a cornerback for the Browns.
Very good. I'll have to check out more on that Greg Newsome situation. That's very cool. I don't know how many NFL rookies or second-year guys are bringing their sister into town to move in and hang out. So that's very, very cool. Definitely have to read up some more on that.
You know, and if I could just jump in there real quickly. I got married my rookie year, if you will, in the TV business. I was 23 years of age. I married the bride, who I still call her the bride to this day. Jane, I married her. She was 22, fresh out of college. I was a year out of college. So I didn't have to worry about being knucklehead young guy on the loose. And same thing for Greg Newsome. He is not knucklehead young guy because his sister's there. You know, she can lower the boom on him if he steps out of line, which I think is cool. And, of course, I've had the potential of the boom being lowered on me for 46 years now, and I'm still in one piece.
Well, good to know you're still here with us, JT. That's all that counts.
You got it, Rocco.
Well, I do want to get to a pair of special teams items before we get to some high school talk, because I do want to talk about the current situation that's unfolded with the OHSAA and the officials. So first and foremost, Cade York, is he making more than he's missing?
Yeah, absolutely. He's only had a couple of misses, and this kid's leg is the strongest that anybody has seen that I can recall. Never a doubt. I mean, this isn't like, you know, Phil Dawson came in and really had to fight for his professional life many moons ago before he became the legend on the lakefront, if you will, the man who knew how to make those decisive kicks with all the pressure in the world on him. And Cade York is coming in with tons of pressure. They drafted this guy. And so how is he going to perform? Well, first and foremost, he's got about the strongest leg that you're ever going to see. He had one make recently where it was a 53-yard field goal. Imagine putting the football to the top of the upper left upright. It doinked off the top part of that upright from 53 yards out, and it glanced in. It was a good field goal. And then he missed a 58-yarder, I think it was wide to the right. My point being this, towards the end of halves, I could definitely see situations where if the conditions are right, they want to go ahead and try, you know, those last you know, 4 minutes before the half and the first 4 minutes coming out of the half. Those are super important minutes in a game. Sometimes some coaches aren't really cognizant of how important they are. Let's say Stefanski's got them moving down and they kind of stall, and he makes a decision. Let's try a 62-yarder, and he makes it. You know, those might be the opportunities for the legend of Cade York to even expand, and also for Cade York to be kind of this year's version of what the kid down in Cincinnati did a year ago to get the Bengals to the Super Bowl.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice. Well, hopefully Cade York is able to knock in a couple of those 60-plus yarders if called upon. So, JT, on the other side of that kicking equation, as far as the return game goes, well, I guess the Browns kind of have a lack thereof of a return game now. Jakeem Grant, a torn Achilles the other day in practice. That is a tough one to see, no doubt. What do the Browns do now as far as their kick and punt return game goes?
Yeah, really unfortunate, because I think, you know, he was the guy that you just plug and play. He's a Pro Bowler. He has that talent. Apparently, he was coming back, cutting back for an underthrown football. So quarterbacks out there, do your receivers a favor and hit them in stride. Don't make them come back for the ball. And he tore his Achilles. Mm. He did have that 3-year deal, Rocco. So now they've got to look at guys like Felton or D'Ernest Johnson or Schwartz, or maybe even, at least in the preseason, this undrafted rookie free agent that they signed out of the Miami Hurricanes, Mike Hartley Jr., who's making a few splashes, as it were, in camp. So we'll see. That was one of those situations where I thought, my goodness, I think it's been 7 years, Rocco, since the Browns have had a return for a touchdown. And, of course, you know, in the early part of the thousands, everybody was spoiled by what Josh Cribbs could do. And so now, you know, they would hope that this streak gets shattered this year and someone takes one to the house. But unfortunately, it won't be Jakeem Grant. That's a tough, tough blow for them.
Well, Mr. Josh Cribbs is still looking pretty good these days, right? Maybe he could take one back if needed.
Yeah, that's very possible. And speaking of me dealing with my bride for 46 years, he's held up very well dealing with that lovely wife of his. I've seen them on their TV shows and on social media. Good for you, Josh. You know how to navigate it, my man. Something you have to think about, Rocco, but I'm not going to get too personal here.
I will be joining that the married gang here in a couple of days myself. So, hey, all the advice, I'll take what I can get, no doubt. Well, JTA, we can close on this. High school football kicks off in just over a week. I know everybody in our area, both yourself and I, are very, very excited for the start of this season. There was maybe a little bit of controversy headed into week one as far as officials go, and maybe a bit of a protest that was, you know, in the works, but that all seems to have been resolved, and it looks like we will for sure have a week one high school football here in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, definitely was official on Monday, where the Officials Association, they ratified agreement to a 5-year kind of a stepladder deal, where they're going to get $80 a game this year, next year, and the year after that, $90, and then the 2 years following those 2 years, there will be $100 per game. There was rumblings about, you know, what they were making. There was a possibility of some kind of a first night protest. Cooler heads prevailed, and I want to shout out Don Lewis, who's the commissioner of the Cuyahoga Valley Conference. He was pretty much the guy that spearheaded this, along with a few other folks, and of course, people from the Officials Association. Cooler heads prevailed. They ratified the deal, so it's great to know 100% that we're going to have football a week from tomorrow night.
Thank God.
Me too. I agree.
Yeah, we certainly need that in our area, and we can get more into individual matchups in week one stuff next week, but certainly good to know this week that we get the news that we will officially have high school football week one in Northeast Ohio. Doesn't really get much better than that. So, JT, thank you for the time this week. As always, good sir, looking forward to seeing the Browns play, as you put it, somebody not themselves this Friday as they take on Jacksonville. That'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff this Friday night, August 12th. So, JT, thank you again for the time, good sir. Best of luck to you the rest of the week, and looking forward to talking some more next week.
All the same, have a great wedding and much
thank you.
Success to you guys heading forward, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, JT. Thanks. See ya.
All right. See you, buddy.